It has been a busy week around the church with CSSM on. And schism in Newton Breda has been happening for a long time. Perhaps someone can tell me exactly how long. I certainly remember being on that team myself about 20 years ago, maybe more. And I know that the ministry there, the outreach, has continued for even longer than that, year in, year out, persevering in evangelism with children. And our passage this morning is about persevering in evangelism, in outreach. It's about Paul's perseverance, and it's about our perseverance. Now, Paul needed to persevere in his ministry. He could have been very discouraged about his ministry as he thought about the mission that he was on. Remember, before his conversion, Paul was heading for a glittering academic career. He would have been professor of Old Testament at the University of Jerusalem for sure. But he gave that up to become a Christian missionary. I don't know what his friends must have said at the time. It all seems like a bit of a waste, Paul, perhaps. And indeed, what had it got him? We're told later in this chapter and later in the letter what Paul got for his trouble on his missionary adventures. Hardships, beatings, imprisonment, poverty, sickness, worry, anxiety. It wouldn't have been so bad if the churches that he'd been on missions to had appreciated him. But half the time, they were a worse burden than anything else, especially here in Corinth. Just a few years before writing this letter, he had stayed in Corinth. He spent about 18 months there founding a church. You can read about it in Acts. He faced relentless hostility while he was there in the city. And now, as he writes this letter, he's very anxious about the church that's there in Corinth. Why should I bother? Paul must have asked himself. Why didn't I go on just to lecture in Jerusalem? I could have been rich and famous. Why did I ever embark on these missionary adventures? They've ruined my career. They're ruining my health. Why am I doing this? Well, if he's asking himself those questions, then he also gives himself the answer here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because this passage this morning is about why we should keep going with the gospel. It's about not giving up as we reach out with the saving news of Jesus. Now, Paul puts it very personally here about his own ministry, but there's so much here, something here for all of us, if we are to faithfully serve God in evangelism. And so I've given the title to this, Do Not Lose Heart, taken from verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, Paul's talking there personally about his own ministry, but then we do not lose heart. And I believe that he then gives two reasons not to lose heart, two game-changing reasons. And here's the first reason not to lose heart as we go out with the gospel. And it is because God has given us his truth. He has given his church the truth about himself and indeed about this world. He has told us the truth about what life is all about. Now, I hope you don't think it's arrogant to speak like this, to say that Christianity has the truth, to say, as Jesus did, that he is the truth. I mean, if any of us claim to have the absolute truth about this world, it would be arrogant. Something that is true for you and for me, well, that comes from God, God's truth. There is such a thing as absolute truth, something that's true for you and me, for a Maasai warrior, for an Australian Aborigine, for a Japanese businessman. Absolute truth, God's truth. And we can trust God to tell us what the truth is. And certainly the Apostle Paul did. Just look at verse 2 for a moment. Chapter 4, verse 2. We do not lose heart. And then verse 2. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The apostles have been given the truth. That's why they do not lose heart. They were given the truth, each of them, by God. They were given the truth by Jesus. Each apostle had met Jesus of Nazareth. They each knew personally for themselves how he was crucified. They each met with him after he was raised from the dead. And that truth, the truth of his resurrection, has changed everything for them. It is why they preach about Jesus. Verse 5. Key verse. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. They themselves know the truth about Jesus. And they realize that this man, he is the ultimate truth in this world. His death and resurrection are like an earthquake in this world. An earthquake that changes the landscape of all our lives, of all of history, of the whole world. The apostles know that. They've met him, and they cannot give up on that. They do not lose heart. Sir Winston Churchill was once invited to speak at Harrow, the public school for boys. It was speech day, and Churchill, by this stage, very elderly, so he was introduced. He got slowly to his feet, shuffled over to the lectern, and he made what must be the shortest speech ever. He simply said to the boys, never, 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 never give up. And then he sat down again. And that's all he said. Very Churchillian. Five nevers. Never give up. I suppose he knew that whatever these Harrow boys were going to do, they would probably end up as leading lights in the country, you know, leaders in politics or leaders in the military or scientific research or whatever. And whatever it was, they would face the temptation, the constant temptation to give up. That they would enter into something important, some career, maybe a challenging career, something important like Churchill had, and they would frequently be tempted to quit. And so his memorable message, all the more memorable for being short, was that they must persevere and carry on. How much more so with the gospel and with us? We do not lose heart. We do not give up. We have the truth. We must share it. Paul is talking here primarily about preaching, actually. Preachers must not give up. It's his own preaching ministry that he's referring to in verse 1. Talks about his ministry. And it's preaching that he's referring to in verse 5, which is that key text in our passage. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And I've always found this verse very encouraging in my own ministry. It's hard to express just how important it has been, actually. We're always told that preaching is doomed, that no one likes to be preached at, that we live in a visual age, a television age. People won't listen to a mere sermon. It's just not worth the effort, preaching or speaking about Christ, that we should be doing other things to bring people into church, to introduce them to God. I'm not convinced. Paul says we do not lose heart. We have the truth. We want to present it as clearly and as straightforwardly as possible. And that must mean speaking words and being open and honest about what the gospel is. Look again at what Paul says in verse 2. We must not manipulate the truth. We do not use deception or distort the word of God. We don't tamper with it to try and make it more effective. No, we're to present the truth of God's word, the gospel, in a straightforward way, in a simple way. And that means speaking while relying on the Holy Spirit to do his work. See, Christians are trying to persuade others to become Christians. But we want to present the gospel in an honest and open way. We're not selling washing powder or secondhand cars. A big danger for a church like us is to think about God's work as if it's a kind of a commercial business, and as if the gospel was a product which we want people to buy. And if we think like that, we might change the packaging and the presentation, and maybe at a board meeting you decide to water down the product itself and dilute the gospel, taking out all the so-called nasty bits from the Bible. But the Apostle Paul says, no, don't do that. Verse 2, don't do that. The church is not in that sort of business. The gospel is not a commercial product which can be changed and adapted to get better sales. It's God's truth. We're having a week of mission in November. I hope that you've already thought of who you're going to invite. Who are you going to bring? Please be upfront with them. Don't say, oh, come to this church event because there'll be great food or great music or great company. I mean, there will be those things, of course, God willing. But come because there'll be a presentation, a talk that clearly explains the truth about God, who Jesus is and what he has done, or words to that effect. What I mean is be totally truthful and honest. We have the truth. We'd be sharing the truth. Because at church we don't tell people simply what they want to hear, because that's not the truth. I want to tell them that we'll all be in heaven, that people are basically okay, that we'll all muddle through in the end. But I have to resist that temptation because it's not the truth. No, we have God's truth. He has revealed it in history, in his word, in the person of Jesus. And so we do not lose heart, but continue to set it forth plainly and clearly. And so that's the first reason that we do not lose heart. As we try to evangelize and reach out, it's because we have the truth. It's because we have the word of God, the gospel message, and that should be a powerful encouragement to us. But then there's a second reason in these six verses, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, why we should not lose heart, and why Paul did not lose heart. And it is because God is shining his light. When the gospel is proclaimed, whether by Paul or by us, God is at work. He's illuminating hearts. And this runs all the way through these verses, but verse 6 is very clear. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It's absolutely essential to understand this. The church's mission is difficult. Yes, people generally do not want to hear our sort of good news. But we do not lose heart because through the proclamation of the gospel, God is at work. He is shining his light. I mean, it is difficult. It is. Verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Verse 4. See, unbelief is not a kind of neutral condition. Unbelief is actively promoted by materialism, by the world, by the devil, by our own sinful nature. All the gods of this age are promoting unbelief. They're selling it. And so Christians are proclaiming the very thing that the God and gods of this world is opposing, the gospel. In other words, the gospel is veiled. Verse 3. Hard hearts put up a barrier to hearing it and receiving it. To the point that we ask, how does anyone ever become a Christian then? But we do not lose heart like that. Why? Because God is shining his light. He will make Christians. He will transform lives as the gospel goes out, as the truth goes out, as the light of the Spirit goes out. Paul compares conversion here in verse 6 to creation. Because in both cases, what God says, he does. So he said, let there be light at creation, and there was light. His word was effective. And just like the earth in Genesis, the lost sinner is formless and empty. But when he trusts Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. A new creation. See, God's creative word. God says, let there be light in the human heart. And he kindles a spiritual fire by his spirit within the heart. He kindles spiritual life in souls. In fact, it's not that God makes the light, which he then shines in a heart, but rather God is the light. He himself streams into our hearts. And that is why we do not lose heart as we evangelize, because God's at work. Paul knows about this light. Remember, these verses are part of Paul's own Christian testimony. He's describing what has happened to him. Famously, Paul had been blinded on the road to Damascus by the light of the risen Jesus. But at the very same time as he was physically blinded, he was being spiritually enlightened. God was taking away the veil from across his heart. God was making his light shine in his heart. And that's Paul's personal testimony. So that now, he says, I just preach Jesus, verse 5. I don't do anything else. And I let God do the work. I let God remove the veil. It happened to me, he says. It was just like pulling the bedroom curtains in the morning. Darkness gave way to dawn, and that can happen to anyone. As Jesus is proclaimed, the curtains are pulled, can be pulled in anyone's life, allowing the light to come streaming in. Paul saw the glory of God in that unique moment on the Damascus Road. And since then, Paul has been setting forth God's truth, the truth, verse 2, the truth of the gospel, trusting that at the same time, God will do the illuminating. Let's just think about preaching again for a moment, which I believe is really the ministry that Paul is getting at here. He's talking about his ministry here in verse 1, and the fact that God shines his light is such an encouragement to preachers, and indeed to all of us who just want to personally speak to someone, just speak to them about Christ. But it's a special encouragement to preachers. We must never give up on the ministry of the word. I know there are bad sermons, there are bad preachers, there are some preachers who refuse to preach the truth at all, sadly, and there are boring sermons and boring preachers, and I'm not setting myself up as anything special as a preacher, but that's the point here. Even with a boring sermon, if it teaches the gospel clearly, that Jesus died for your sin and rose again, God will be shining his light. And that's what makes it effective. Not the marvelous stories or the amusing jokes and anecdotes. Not the gifts of any preacher, but the light of the gospel as God does his work. Therefore, what we all need to learn to do is to speak the gospel clearly, in simple words. All of us, but especially preachers, and not let other things crowd it out. Let's say I need to go to the bank for a loan. And I go and meet the bank manager, and I want to clearly communicate with him, to tell him how much I want, to tell him how I'm going to pay it back. I'm not going to do a mime for him, or to do a kind of a liturgical dance in front of him, in the hope that he will get the message. And likewise, when it comes to him saying yes or no, he's not going to sing me a song. The clearest way of communicating is through simple speech, through words. And it's the same in church. I mean, the clearest way of communicating the gospel, there are things like drama, music, films, testimony. I'm all for these things in their place. But they can never replace preaching, because they do not communicate the Christian gospel as unambiguously as speaking words. And it's that sort of speech that God illuminates. Faithful words of truth. You might feel that you could never speak the gospel to anyone, that you could just never share the message of Jesus coming, of his dying for sins, of his rising again to save us, of faith in him, that you would just stumble over your words. But you see, no matter how faltering your attempts, the light of God will be shining in some dark hearts. Maybe not every time you do it, but perhaps every time. God can use our weak efforts, and so we do not give up. Like Paul, we do not lose heart. Remember, never, 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 never give up, because his light is shining. And Jesus makes the same sort of point in his parable of the sower. It's not the skill of the sower, you or me. It's the effectiveness of the seed and the type of soil. The sower just scatters it everywhere. God works in the soil. Our job's just to scatter the seed. And those who are not Christians yet, they have a veil over their eyes. They have sort of spiritual cataracts on their eyes to keep them from seeing Christ. But God can perform the laser surgery and provide that miracle of spiritual illumination. Light right inside the believer's heart. It's God who prepares the soil. It's God who shines the light. It's God who opens the eyes. If we gain the slightest inkling of spiritual understanding, even as we read this part of Paul's letter today, if you've the slightest inkling of what it's about, praise God for it, because he's shone his light. He's doing his work. So let's not give up our task. Let's not lose heart. We have the truth to present honestly and openly through speech. And as we do that, God shines his light, his spirit, into hearts. Let us pray.